Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Tune in. Grow in faith.
Hello, everybody. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And welcome to Intimate Moments, the marriage counseling show, where we make sure that you work on your marriage, you build your marriage, you are equipped for your marriage. We don't also only focusing on those who are already married, those also who are saying, one day I want to see myself with my wife, with my husband. We equip you. We tell you what to do before you take that step, what to prepare for. So we make sure you are equipped, you know what you are getting yourself into. Thank you so much for tuning in to Intimate Moments. We are here every Fridays from 10 till 12 on Radio Pulpit Channel 882 on your DSTV. It's the 5th of December. Oh man, 2025, and the Lord has been with us. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. I understand that there's a lot that has happened. Kulonyaka nasemichadweni yethu, kodwa sisaphila, siselapha. We're still trying. We're still building imichado yethu. We thank God. We give God all the glory. Siyazi ukuthi ke kuba ne seasons kwinto nje zonke, even nalapha emichadweni. There are going to be seasons. Akuzoba mnandi okoko. Akuzo celebrate okoko. Azaba khona amaxesha uvubunzima. Where you feel like giving up, but we are here. Single intimate moments. You are saying, "Lost season is our lula." Kuza kusa, kuza kanya, kuza bamnandi kwa kona. Hang in the salikone niyako. Go to your closet and pray for your marriage, and pray for your husband, and pray for your wife tonight. An intimate moment. Sichonga ke ingobo zethu esithesa zidlala kulo nyaka wonke. And our theme is the best of 2025. December njelo wonke, we're gonna be doing that. Sikondile ukuthi no man masibuye lumva siphinde simamelisise kuba bekusithwane bekusenzeka ndoni. Tonight inkqubo ke esizawuyijonga inkqubo apho sasithetha no Pastor T, Pastor Toby Dlamini, ethetha nge types of intimacies. Oh man, wathetha kakhulu. We thank God for her. Siyayazi ke zininzi ii types of intimacies, but into esayiqaphela into yobana abantu bayathanda xa kuthethwa nge-intimacy, bathanda le bazi le ye-physical intimacy, but there are a lot of different kinds of intimacies. Wayichaphazela ke emotional intimacy uPastor T, wathetha nge-spiritual intimacy. Mandiqale phaa kwi-emotional intimacy, apho nibe connected emotionally, nibe novelelwano. Uyayiqonda mos le nto. Waqhubekeka waya kwi-spiritual intimacy, apho wayethetha ngento zabo kamoya. Uyayiva le nto, nikhonekthe naphaa kwamoya, nithandaze kunye, yonke laa nto. Waqhubeka waya kwi-physical intimacy, le siyaziyo ke sihleli sithetha ngayo xa kuthethwa nge-intimacy. Ingqondo ibaleka iye pha kuyo. Waya pha kwi-intellectual intimacy, apho kufunda incwadi. Like your intellectual man, you have ideas, thoughts, you connect pana. Waya ku financial intimacy ke lena sayibona sayifunda ukuthi a lot of couples struggle with it, but Pastor T uyacebisa pana. Sizamva kule nkqubo yethu sizayidlala namhlanje. Kwakumnandi. Thank you so much for being part of Intimate Moments. Sethemba ukuthi zonke izinkqubo sizidlalayo, zonke izi topics siye size nazo ziyavuselela umtshato, ziyavuselela la connection ku intimacies, ziyavuselela uthando, zikwenza ufile ukuthi no man, uThixo has brought me here, therefore mangiqhubekeke ndimkhonze, mangiqhubekeke ndimthembe ngalo mtshato wami. UThixo ufuna loo nto. Siyazi ukuthi into esishumayelayo apha is that umtshato ngokaThixo. Whenever uxakiwe, not only xa uxakiwe, every time, every day kunkqubuyelela kuThixo wakho. Go to your closet, pray without ceasing. Icho nezwi lethu, thandazani ningayeki. UThixo khona. God is in your marriage. UThixo uphethe umtshato wenu, ufuna yena. He has the map, he has the direction, he knows the vision and everything, he knows the purpose of your marriage. Therefore now, so that you be clear, you must go to him. UThixo will reveal to you the purpose, will reveal to you how to connect, how to navigate lo mtshato anifake kuyo. Masiqhubeke siyeke, si introduce uPastor T oh man, I'm going to enjoy this episode, because there's a lot that we learned here. There's a lot of feedbacks that we got from Abapolapole. Intimacy between Nana Maivuselele. Let's quickly go to a song, and then after, let's see, I'll interview you to No Pastor T.
Where hope and faith thrive.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Oh yes, you are listening to Intimate Moments with me, Amanda Makabuka. As I've said, I'm not alone tonight. I have my beautiful guest standing in front of me here. I'm Pastor T. How are you? I'm good, thank you. Please greet our listeners tonight on Intimate Moments.
We greet all the listeners tonight, Intimate Moments, with Sister Amanda. And we trust in God for a very insightful time,
man.
And hopefully an impactful time for the next 2 hours.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Tonight we have a topic.
Interesting one.
very, very interesting one.
Yeah.
Types of intimacies.
Mm.
Pastor T, many people think intimacy only refers to sex. In your view, what does true intimacy in a relationship really mean?
Sure. And I think this is just maybe one of those very significant shows that maybe we need, especially as Christians. You know, I feel like maybe when we get married, we have a certain perspective of what intimacy is.
Yeah.
And all of us are told, no, you need to wait and before you get married, before you engage in intimacy. But I think there's a sort of a little bit of, you know, what you call it, blind spots in relation to what intimacy really is. In my view, it's my conviction that intimacy is when you can be naked before each other, unashamed. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 2, verse 25, it says, and the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed.
Yeah.
It means you've reached a point in your union or in your marriage where you can be transparent about anything. When I say transparent, I mean you can be open about your fears, you can be open about your anxieties, your joys, your dreams, your aspirations. Anything that is deep-seated within you, you are able to unpack without any fear or reservation. That is my understanding of intimacy. It means a safe environment has been created in the relationship for you to be yourself without editing. Also, intimacy for me means that should you be in a crisis, that is the first person that you think of. Should you be happy, that's the first person you think of. You don't think of calling a friend before you call a spouse. So I think that intimacy means that you are both transparent to each other and are naked and unashamed. I'm able to come with you with my vulnerabilities, with my wounds, with my issues and flaws, and you are able to love me as I work through whatever I need to work through. So for me, that is intimacy in a nutshell.
Okay. So why do you think God designed intimacy to be in different layers, not just the physical?
You know, I think God understands us and understands our humanity, that obviously we are spirits with a soul and we live in a body.
Yeah.
And I think that it was relevant for him to create a system where where our needs could be met on all three levels. As we're going to go into the intimacies, you will see that they actually cater for all three levels, you know. I often say that sometimes as Christians, we like to spiritualize a lot of things. You know, when you want to build the sort of emotional intimacy of the marriage, and you know, you're playing love songs and all of that. Some Christians don't believe in playing love songs. You know, they just believe that the house must just be saturated with worship right through and so forth. But there are things that we need to build on a soul level. And there are things we need to build on a spiritual level. And then obviously then with the physical intimacy and sexual intimacy, that's more on the physical level. God understands us so much. That's why he also put the book of Songs of Solomon, you know, in the Bible, you know, to give us an idea that he created us to explore all avenues of the things that he has given us and not shy away. I feel like as Christians, sometimes we shy away from true intimacy because we perceive intimacy to be sexual only. So we don't connect on an emotional level. And also maybe on a spiritual level, we also don't connect. We just believe that it must just be sexual. God knows us so well that he catered for all three because we are in the world and we are in the flesh as and much as we receive instructions from the spirit, but also we are in the physical, and those needs also need to be met.
And all those three layers are very important.
Very important.
Very
yeah.
important because I've heard or I've seen partners who have a problem with the physical one. They will go back and notice that, no, man, the problem started with the spiritual one.
No, definitely.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. There's a lot of confusion. That's why I think it's important as well that when we read the word, we read it holistically and not just choose your fire scriptures to go in fire shots or whatever the case is. I think when you go through scripture, you'll really realize that God had us in mind with everything that he created. You know, it's so ironic that maybe I should read a scripture to elaborate on what I'm saying. In the book of Ecclesiastes, where the Bible is zooming in on two being better than one. You know, the first point that it raises is that they will receive double for their labor. You know, that could mean income, that could mean whatever you are doing as a two of you, that you will receive double. Then it speaks about the other one being down and the other one lifting the other one up. Then it speaks about the one lying alone and no one is there to keep him warm. That if there are two, at least the other one can keep the other one warm. I'm trying to say, throughout the Bible, you will pick up patterns, you know, of how God designed the system. I think sometimes we think God is far up there and not, you know, cognizant of where we are and our needs. Sometimes we prioritize the other over the other. And you find that people prioritize the sexual intimacy over all else, and they have not invested on the emotional side, on the spiritual side. So there needs to be a balance of all these types of intimacies for the flow within a marriage.
Wow. All right. Let us start with emotional intimacy.
Emotional intimacy.
Why is do emotional intimacy described as the foundation of a strong marriage?
Emotional intimacy is very important. I think last time we touched a little bit on when we were talking about past pains and traumas. We touched a little bit on it, but I'm going to elaborate on it right now. A lot of us have been on a very long journey before marriage. Long journey not meaning multiple relationships, but it could be as well. But I'm just saying it's been a journey on the family side or relationship side, whichever way. It's been a very long journey. And I'm finding that actually, the barrier, as the more I do coaching for marriage and families, the barrier that is there for couples to reach each other is more on the emotional side.
Okay.
Some people have been through so much in their lives that even when they find somebody who cares for them, they sort of put them on half clutch. And, you know, when the car is on half clutch, it's very difficult to put the gear on.
Yeah, it
refuses, especially with the manuals, because they are so cautious because their hearts have been broken over and over again. And you find that some struggle with issues of abandonment, issues of rejection. And so a relationship can suffocate right here, and then it affects the sexual intimacy, the spiritual intimacy, the financial intimacy, also the, you know, the doing hobbies and things together, because they don't feel at home with each other. So the reason why emotional intimacy is seen as the foundation of all the other intimacies is because a lot hinges on it. A lot hinges on it. For instance, I know that men might probably not like me saying this, but some men complain about their wives' libidos and their wives' interest, maybe when it comes to sexual intimacy. But when you trace very well, you'll find that the wife has been struggling with emotional intimacy with the spouse because of the issues that are within the marriage. So if we don't nurture this side, the side of emotional intimacy, it spills over to the other areas of our life. Because for a woman, they need to feel emotionally connected for them to be sexual.
You see?
So their sexual experience is glued a lot to their emotions. And then you find that a man, whether they're feeling good or bad, in most cases, not all the time, they would still engage in sexual intimacy. So there is a very huge gap, and I think it's something that we need to bridge through these type of talks to say, if you don't take care of your bond emotionally in the marriage, it's going to affect how you decide your financial decisions. Is going to affect whether you spend time together, doing hobbies or whatever. The recreational intimacy can be affected if you are not close. You don't have the emotional intimacy. And I think I did describe what intimacy is. So emotional intimacy will then refer to just emotional safety in a relationship. Can I trust you with my vulnerabilities? They will never be used against me. Can I trust you with my past mistakes and present mistakes? Can I trust you with the stuff that other people don't know about me? That you will know those things and still love me. That you will know the areas that I'm still developing in, and actually be a helping hand in helping me to overcome those things. Sometimes it's past pains, sometimes it's traumas. So once you feel emotionally attached or intimate with a person, it's easier to then, you know, facilitate the other types of intimacies. You know, it's easier to decide on finances, you know, without squabbles. It's easier to spend time with recreational intimacy. Spiritual intimacy, it's easier to pray together. Physical intimacy, then it flows easier to touch, to hug. Sexual intimacy, then it comes easier because there's already that foundation of just oneness and closeness emotionally.
So how can couples rebuild emotional intimacy after betrayal?
That's a big one for couples, because when we talk about betrayal, it's broad. We're not just talking about infidelity. It could be anything that has disrupted the trust within the marriage, you know. And maybe just to give you an example, I don't know, when we were young, we used to play with those, you know, we used to occasionally see the snails in the shell in Makaya, you know, in where we grew up. And so it was always a very interesting thing when we see one. But obviously we were kids, so we'll throw stones at it, throw stones at it, and we'll be fascinated by it crawling inside and taking its antennas and pulling itself inside, because on the underneath it's fragile, though the shell is hard, but underneath is very fragile. So the more we throw, the more it would hibernate inside, and obviously shame. Sometimes we'll torture it to its demise. But anyway, we were children; we didn't know better.
Yeah.
But that's the best way I can describe how we are designed emotionally, especially in a marriage setup. People don't understand that else, Amanda, you can say something to me and it doesn't affect me. Mm. But my spouse can say the same thing to me and it would definitely affect me. So emotionally, we need to have an understanding that if the space is not safe, we crawl in to our shell. Whatever has not made the space safe, it might be infidelity, it might be oppression. You know, there are couples that are just very oppressive, you know, in nature. There are people that don't have emotional intelligence. They shout all the time. They're emotionally abusive. Christians even, you know.
True.
And those things can cause your spouse to come into the shell and hide there whilst you are there and not come out. So we need to understand that just because we are Christians, it doesn't mean that the natural laws don't affect us. The law of gravity affects us. If I'm going to climb up this roof and try and jump down, I'm going to break something.
Yeah.
So once a person is inside that shell, they will not come out until they feel it is safe to do so. So don't expect a person after a very big event in a marriage to come out immediately. You need to give them time to come out emotionally and meet you, because they have, something has hit their shell, and to protect themselves they have folded into that shell and you cannot get a hold of them.
Wow.
So the most important thing firstly is accountability. I realize that these actions have hurt you so bad, and I'm willing to rectify this behavior. The reason why emotional intimacy is so difficult in marriages is because nobody is willing to take accountability to their contribution to the problem. I'm sorry, because of my ignorance, this is how I've treated you. Yeah. I'm sorry, I've carried my traumas to this marriage. So because my mom was abusing my dad, I thought you were also going to abuse me. Yeah. I have a distorted view of females. We need to be accountable for dysfunctional behavior in our marriages. If you don't become accountable, the person will not come out. They will not feel safe to come out, because you have not identified the problem. And because you have not identified the problem, it means when I come out of there, the same thing is going to affect me, because you have no realization of how your actions have affected me. Then the second thing would be to apologize, and really, a real apology means changed behavior. So you don't apologize with your mouth and then you raise your voice at me the following week, because now I've already communicated that that behavior is causing me to go into the shell. The third one will be vulnerability. To say that, sure, I'm realizing that there are areas of my life that need healing. And please be patient with me as I work through them, whether it's spiritual help or counseling or whatever it is. But please be patient with me. It makes me safe to come out and be part of the process and not be the receiver of your dysfunction, you see. So what happens is that now when it gets very heated or something has happened, people coil into their shells and nobody's willing to come out. And one has to allow the dust to settle before they come out and say, okay, what has really happened, before they reach out to the other spouse? What has really happened? And for both sides to come out, there has to be an environment of peace, you see. So you can't come out in noise. When you come out, you need to come out with possible solutions. Don't come out to attack me, because if you come out to attack me, I'm going to go into my shell again. So in that particular case, it's accountability. It's a sincere apology, and which is followed by change behavior. Then it's vulnerability of saying that I acknowledge that I have flaws and I'm going to work on them.
All right.
That is a good way of starting to bridge the gap to connect again.
Oh, wow. There are a lot of intimacy layers that we're still going to go to. Let us quickly go to a break and then we'll get into another one.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-333-0469. 0800-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Take Radio Pulpit wherever you go. Listen live on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts. Radio Pulpit, your Christian alternative at your fingertips.
All right, you still tuned into Intimate Moments. I'm here with Pastor T, discussing the types of intimacy. We were busy with the emotional intimacy. Pastor T, you were talking about rebuilding that emotional intimacy after the betrayal, the disappointment. What else can you add there before we go to the spiritual intimacy?
I think we can just add one last point. Mm-hmm. You know, when a relationship has gone through serious damage, there has to be effort put in reaffirming and validating. I'll tell you why that is important. Because when you, let's say, for example, when you got married, you didn't know where you were going. You followed words to where you are going. The words are the ones that made you leave your house and not knowing what you're going to find there, not knowing what challenges you're going to face. Yes. So words is what convinced you to follow. And you affirmed your commitment through words. I don't think we emphasize this a lot. But this is very important. You know, if a marriage has gone through something, it's very important to let the spouse know that I'm still here to stay.
Yeah.
That I'm still committed to this. That I still have your best interest at heart. And that you still, the best thing that's ever happened to me. We might have gone through a ditch, but you're still one of the best things that's ever happened to me. So people start to withhold affirmation and validation. And, you know, a marriage has gone through something very horrific. Now you are withholding your words. Yeah. But, you know, it's your words that brought me here. Yes. Do you still want this? Are you still in for the long haul? Are you still here? Till death do us part. So when you come out of it, don't expect things to be automatic. Reaffirm your spouse. You know, I've made a mistake. I understand how it's affected our marriage, but I'm committed to this. I'm rolling up my sleeves to build again. And that type of affirmation and validation is what will slowly bring you back to the physical intimacy, and then obviously the sexual intimacy will flow better. And then obviously the recreational intimacy will flow better, because then you're able to enjoy each other's company. Nobody wants to be in the company of somebody that they feel they're not in the same team with.
Yeah.
Or somebody that they feel is against them. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's the last point I wanted to add.
Okay, all right. Now we're moving on to spiritual intimacy. What does spiritual intimacy mean in a Christian family?
Well, in a Christian family, firstly, I think that the point of departure is shared values and beliefs. Because you find people that are Christians that believe in two different things, but they're in the same faith. You know, and you find another one believes in fasting, another one doesn't believe in fasting. You get Christians that are like that. Like, why do I need to fast? Why do I mean, everything was done for me on the cross. Why do I need to fight? You know, why do I need to, you know, to pray that much and strain myself when Christ said it is finished, you know? So it's important to have shared beliefs within a marriage, and also shared vision. You know, Christ died for us so that as we live this life, we no longer live for ourselves. Sometimes you find spouses that are so preoccupied with self that they are missing out on the bigger vision that God had for them as a couple, as Christians. So there's spiritual intimacy that is lost when you are with somebody who, you know, who just thinks Christianity was for them, and so there's nothing bigger than, so long as we pray to God with my little family and we go to church on Sunday, that is enough, you know. So I believe spiritual intimacy is also shared vision. You might have two different parts in terms of career or whatever that you're doing, but you all understand that you are in this to represent Christ. You are in this to expand the kingdom. You are in this to, you know, to show forth God's glory as a couple. So shared vision is one of the facets of spiritual intimacy. And then obviously praying together is one facet of spiritual intimacy. It's important as a couple to pray together. Because sometimes when you have resentment and all those things, it becomes difficult to pray together. So praying together enforces also that sense of peace and clean hearts against each other or in whatever commotion you might be going through in the marriage. It enforces a culture of unity and oneness, and you have to be in agreement on all levels. And then obviously it would also relate to praying for each other. There are some things that we can't fix as spouses. They are in God's hands. And if we neglect spiritual intimacy in the form of praying for each other, we will try to fix things that only God can fix. And so that's why sometimes commotion comes in. And also praying for each other helps you to understand who you are married to. I don't know if I can elaborate on that a little bit if we have a bit of time. Joseph, remember, they became a complication in their little betrothal situation when Mary is now pregnant. So Joseph was meaning to just let go of her privately without embarrassing her. Until then, there's that encounter to unpack what it is that Mary is carrying. I always say that when you know what your spouse is carrying, it's easier for you to adjust yourself in the setup, because you understand that you need to create an environment for that to thrive. You need to create an environment for that to be given birth to. Most of the time, where you find abusive behavior is when a person does not know what their spouse carries, who they are. And what they carry for their world. So spiritual intimacy means I'm with you here, but I have insight to who you are and your assignment, what you came to do. And I'm not perfect, but I'll try by all means not to be a hindrance to your primary assignment, to the reason you were dispatched. So the last point would be then spiritual intimacy. I've just maybe captioned it on this, is that you are in a position where you don't want to stand in each other's way or in each other's purpose. That is spiritual intimacy, where you are so cognizant of your spouse spiritually that you try to cultivate more than anything. You try to water what is there. If you can't water it, you at least create a conducive environment for it to thrive. So that's how I define spiritual intimacy.
All right. So how can couples work together spiritually when they are in different stages of faith?
In different stages of faith. That's it happens. It happens. It happens a lot amongst couples. You know, people measure growth in different ways. My take is that so long as a person is open to God and willing to grow, do not put pressure on that person.
Okay.
You take them by the hand, especially if you are the leader of the house, because you are the priest, you know, on behalf of your house, you know, that speaks to God. You know, so I suggest that if you are the priest of the house and you can see that your wife is way behind in terms of spiritual things, that you bring her on board, give her the materials that you read, spend time with the family, an hour or so in the evening, or 30 minutes even, just pour into them, read the word and pour into them. That cultivates a culture of whatever you are consuming, they are consuming. You see, you can't be on some quest alone and your path that legs too far behind, because some of the things that maybe God will speak to you will be so deep that they will not be able to understand it if they are carnal, you know, because the things of God are deep, they are spiritually discerned. So you find that God is leading one partner this direction and the other one is now oppressing the other one. So always, if you find yourself, maybe we don't measure spirituality by gifting, that whether you're a prophet and whatnot. So now it means that your husband does not hear anything, because whether you're a prophetess, you hear from God. I've seen that type of behavior where women think they are the ultimate gift to the family, and then they are abusing the family with their gift, you see. I think it's always a relevant prayer to pray, to say, God, please open their eyes. Please open their eyes, you know. And may the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Those are relevant prayers to pray. Where you are not on par, you give God the room to say, God, speak to my spouse, unpack this. But over and above, in your study sessions or whatever you're reading, it could be a book or what, share with your spouse. So that they are getting the same knowledge that you are getting. And where they don't understand, they can ask you. Then you are both growing together, even though you're not on the same level. But you are both growing together spiritually, so that there isn't too much of a gap that will complicate, you know, some of the things that you want to achieve.
I've seen, Pastor T, what you're talking about now, but the problem is maybe with, let's say, husbands trying to force. They must not force.
No, I've also seen husband like throw people into a deep end. You find that your wife is not a preacher now.
Yeah,
because you are a preacher, you want her to preach. No, we all have our individual identity in God, and spiritual growth does not mean the mic, you know. Allow your spouse to find their area of function. You know, some people are more behind the scenes. They are counselors. They take care of people. Some people, they just have, you know, the gifts of just helping, the helping gifts. They just want to help. They just want to support families. So let's not measure growth, spiritual growth, by what is displayed in public. A person can have a very solid relationship with God and not appear anywhere on the posters, you know.
True.
They might have a very thriving prayer life which is not recorded on public platforms. So I think as well in the world of social media, that's where people are getting pressure. Okay, so-and-so's wife is a preacher, and my wife must also preach and all those things. So I think we need to lay off a bit and allow people to have their individual journeys with God and grow the way God intended, not with our pressure and expectations. So long as they have a solid relationship with God, God will keep on pouring into them and mature them in every way possible. So, yeah, the pressure should be laid off. it should be laid off a bit. Life is, you know, there's more to life. We still need to function. It's not just about us.
And it can be vice versa, the wife of us.
Yeah, sometimes even the wife, you know, she's a prophetess of some sort. Now she feels, no, the husband.
Yeah.
I'm leading the husband. No, you're not leading. You just have a gift that is different from your husband. And that gift should not be used to break spiritual protocol as well, because he's the head. So you can't now be leading the family because you are the prophetess. It's not your place.
It's very sad what we're discussing, obviously, because there's a couple that I really looked up to. They've been married for years. But now the wife was raised by God, like in her gift. She's very powerful. She ended up undermining the husband to get what I mean. Even at home now, she was a leader.
Yeah, and now she's calling the shots.
And the husband, like, had enough and was like,
This is it.
This is too much for me.
Yeah, this is it.
And it has been happening now.
It's a very unhealthy thing that is happening, because you can be dynamic in that sense, but God has really put a simple structure. It's God, it's the husband, it's you, you see. So as much as the man is submitting to God, we are submitting to the husband. Yeah, whatever nature of a gift that you have. You know, I've seen it also happen quite a bit, where now people are almost like loose cannons because they don't understand that there are things that God has put in place that cannot be tampered with, no matter how gifted you are or how much you think you hear from God or see God.
That's why, Pastor T, you will hear a lot of single men saying, I don't want a dynamic wife.
I've seen that on I've seen that a lot on social media platforms. They have a particular thing against prophetesses, you know. So they say, no, if you text a prophetess, then they say, what's the word? What's God saying this morning? And they just want to have a normal conversation. So, no shame. Our brothers are really in trouble. But if there's somebody that's listening to us, I mean, you know, this is a very sensitive issue.
Mm-hmm.
If there is somebody that is listening to us, you know, that level of gifting should not take away from mm-hmm. your initial role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the prophetess and then there's the wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to separate those roles. You mm-hmm. still need to, as a wife, submit to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to, if you've got speaking engagements,
yes.
if you're invited, check with yes. him first.
Yeah. And it's not always the spiritual part. You can be a director at work.
Exactly. It could be the corporates as well, that you have a powerful position at work.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't separate your position from your position at home, you know, and your role at home, your position from your role at home.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to bring then the CEO tendencies to the house. And you know, they want to dictate terms and so forth, and it just backfires on a high level.
Sure,
yeah,
that's a lot. Let us quickly go to a break, and then we're gonna move over to another layer of intimacy.
Inspiring lives with God's Word, Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Will you be traveling outside of the Radio Pulpit medium wave broadcasting area? No problem. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts. Radio Pulpit, your Christian alternative at your fingertips. Explore life with 657 AM.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Intimate Moments. We were discussing marriage issues. Our tonight's topic is types of intimacies. I'm here with Pastor T. I can hear she researched about this topic. It's in her. She knows it. We're moving on, Pastor T, to intellectual and recreational intimacy. What is intellectual intimacy, Pastor T?
Intellectual intimacy is when, as a couple, you can, you know, sit, share your ideas, your opinions. It could be about religion. Could be about current affairs. Could be about tourism. Any subject under the sun. It could be economics, it could be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing around intellectual intimacy is that you are able to discuss even the areas that you're not that vested in.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. Like, for instance, my husband likes books on politics.
Okay.
And maybe spiritual books like church governance and all those things.
Okay.
When I'm going to pick up a book to read, I'm going to pick up a book on wellness, mental health.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't mean just because he's not reading anything on mental health that he's not intelligent, or the fact that I'm not reading anything on politics, I'm not intelligent. So we are able to then have a conversation where his area of strength, he can empower me. And so I read up about this and this. Though I'm not particularly interested what that person did, but I can lend an ear because it's going to be a lesson on leadership. It's going to be a lesson on resilience. Since he's more inclined into your books on economics, on politics, and then on church governance. So I'm able to glean from him. So you are able to glean without the person making you feel like you are stupid for not knowing that information. I think that's where the mistake is. Especially when you marry somebody who's got a high IQ level, it's a very big problem because some people are made to feel stupid because that's not their area of interest. You might be married to somebody who is a creative mind. You know, is a creative mind, and because they are a creative mind, they are more inclined to certain things that you would not research or Google or read on, you know. So intellectual intimacy means you can bring your knowledge base, I can bring my knowledge base, and we can share on an intellectual level what we have discovered in life and otherwise, and without demeaning each other.
Okay.
And without enforcing our opinions on each other, you know. Obviously, then you can, it's okay to challenge each other, so long as challenging each other has nothing to do with looking down on another one's intellect. So long as you're saying, oh, just read this, I read up on eggs. Apparently, cholesterol is what the high cholesterol is being caused by eggs. There was that argument going on in the pharmaceutical world or research space. So then you come with different things. Say, no, eggs don't. They're actually good for you. No, they're actually tested. This is what they found. So you can challenge each other in terms of information, so long as it's not demeaning each other. You are helping each other grow. And now there are people that feel they don't connect with their spouses intellectually, and it's a very big problem with some couples because they feel like, oh, my word, I get home, then I've got nothing to talk about, you know. Maybe you find that it happens a lot with people that are like legal minds. And, yeah, people that are sort of like into the deep side of the intellectual world. Maybe another time we'll do the types of intelligences, you know. I find that a lawyer is maybe married to somebody who's more a creative. You know, I think the important thing is to find what is of interest to your spouse. You discuss it, and also what is of interest to you, and you discuss it. I think that also if you feel like not being intellectually stimulated is a big thing for you, then you need to empower your choice. If you've chosen a woman and you feel like she's not empowered, then take her to school. Then enlighten her. Then open those avenues for her. I don't think that we should measure intelligence by fields, that you're in the accounting field or economic space or you're a lawyer. I think I think everybody's intelligent, just in their area of in their area of strength. So so also, you know, it also as women, I think it's important. I know the emphasis now is on beauty and all those things. I think it's important to empower ourselves on every level. Sometimes you don't need to do like formal education. It's not all the time that you'll have access. But there's so much information out there that can put you ahead, or that can make you be able to hold a conversation. You know, even if it's not your area of strength, but at least you know one or two things. You are not clueless. I think it happens a lot, especially with us, because maybe the focus is more outward appearance. So it's something that I encourage, that you just, even if you're not so much a specialist in an area, but just read a little bit on it, so that you know a little bit about something.
True. So is intellectual intimacy important in a relationship?
It is, because you're going to be spending the rest of your life together, and you have to be able to be left alone without the kids, without the family, without everybody else, and have something to talk about. It's not every time that you're going to talk about how beautiful your eyes are or how handsome you are. I think that conversation eventually runs out, you know, after some time. You know, the person will still tell you you're beautiful, but they're not going to, like, gaze at you like they used to. So there needs to be more that you can talk about. You know, and Yeah, it's important. Know what the interests of your spouse are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like my husband really loves gym. So sometimes I do have like pointers for him. That, oh, I was reading this and this. This is what they say. Because that's his area.
Mm-hmm.
When he's at gym, he's happy. He's, you know, he feels he's taking care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I support him in that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm
yeah.
reading to impress him. I'm
yes.
just reading to find out
yes.
Certain things. Then you can have a conversation
yeah.
when he's from gym. Oh, mm-hmm. this has happened. Oh, yeah. They say when this happened, this is what happened. You're not trying mm-hmm. to impress him.
Mm-hmm.
You just want mm-hmm. to also be relevant in his world
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that you don't feel detached
yeah.
though you might have different interests
mm-hmm.
as a couple yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how can couples respect each other's perspectives when they don't always agree?
Yeah, I think that also falls under intellectual
mm-hmm.
Intellectual intimacy. The main thing about intellectual intimacy is that I'm not going to share with you my insights if I always feel like you're looking down
mm.
on my opinions or on my findings
mm.
or on my analysis, whatever I'm analyzing.
Mm.
It's going to be difficult for me to say, oh, you know, I was reading this and I found out this, because I'm going to feel like you're going to object,
mm.
You know. So create an environment for your spouse to be critical in their thinking,
mm.
challenge their thinking, but mm. never make them feel like they're not smart enough.
Mm,
yeah, I think that's the big one.
Mm.
Never make the other feel like they don't have the ability to match you
mm.
intellectually.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't agree with their point, don't raise it with, oh, that is stupid, or no, man, that's very foolish. No, you
yeah.
don't say things like that. You mm-hmm. say, no, nah, from what I'm seeing, this yeah. and this and this, I mm. think might be right, or maybe
mm.
this is how I'm assessing the situation.
Mm.
Then in that way, you can have an intellectual conversation without the other one feeling they are not
mm.
smart.
Mm. Pastor T, recreational intimacy is about fun and shared
yeah.
activities.
So how can hobbies.
Yeah, how can couples bring joy
mm.
and playfulness mm. back into their relationships?
Yeah, I think we get so overwhelmed
yeah.
with responsibilities. I think recreationally, in the initial stage of the relationship,
mm.
the recreational part of the of things flows. Then the kids come, then things
yeah.
become
Whoa.
Busy, and then you realize, oh my word, I have to literally squeeze in to
mm.
actually have a little bit of
mm.
fun. I think fun is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You can create your own fun.
Mm.
It depends if you are indoor people or outdoor people. Some couples like outdoors, some couples are more indoor. They can have their own fun
mm.
within their setup, which meaning it doesn't need a budget for you to
yeah.
have fun. You
mm.
create your own fun within your house. Some, they make Fridays a movie night,
mm.
you know, where they're just bonding, doing nothing, detoxing on the pressures of the week. You know, see, some, they like to take like your random sleepovers at hotels.
Mm.
Like, okay, I found a nice hotel. It's about 800. We can just go
yeah.
sleep over, have some breakfast. I think we complicate it with budget.
Mm.
Then we think we have mm. to have fun twice a year on a
yeah.
holiday. Or maybe once a year on a holiday, depending how often you go.
Mm.
I just think that it's something that should just be planned.
Mm.
It's a must
mm.
because
yeah.
you can't lose that fun. The pressures of life are many.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not careful, it's easy to just move from project to project,
mm.
deadline to deadline,
mm.
and frustration to frustration
mm.
without taking a breather just to be together.
Mm.
So it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, it just needs to be scheduled.
Mm.
It's part of your... And, you know, with recreational... I know some couples gym together. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good practice
mm-hmm.
because then you're taking care of your body simultaneously.
Yeah.
Some couples, they have like hobbies. They play tennis together.
Mm.
They do certain things
mm.
together. I think the recreational part of intimacy just builds memories
yes.
for the two of you.
Yes.
So you can't be a couple and not have memories.
Mm-mm.
You can. It can't be that the only memory you have is just having sexual intimacy. No, there's more to life
mm.
than that.
Yeah.
So you... you also need to go out there and experience things together, you know, and make memories together. That recreational part of the relationship restores it as well, especially when you've been through a difficult season or you've been through a lot. You take time off. It doesn't have to be expensive. You can go for a helicopter ride and after that have a lunch. Those things. I mean, they have what you call daddy's deals. You get discounts on these things. And you are able to have something significant without breaking the bank. But you're also able to keep the spark alive. Because at the end of the day, you have each other for the rest of your lives, and it's going to be a very long life if you don't do something fun together.
I always say, my husband doesn't like it, but I always say when I want to go and
just need a break,
a little girl in me wants to play.
And that's a good way of putting it, because remember, our personalities are not the same. My husband is more outdoors. I'm more your indoor person. Okay. Like, I could do very well with a good movie and just maybe something to snack with. I'm just that easy to please. And I'm not so much of your flowers person. Okay. So they don't really strike any chord with me of any sort. So, but people differ. So I guess you'll have to know what tickles your spouse's fancy and then just zoom in there. I think that's a nice way of putting it. Little girl wants to play. That's with your travelers and adventurous souls. They should not be deprived of that. Kids can be left alone and you can go and make that time. It doesn't have to be long. It can be 2 days. It can be a Friday evening and a Saturday whole day. And you come back on Sunday for church. It doesn't have to be long, but it has to be featured within the marriage.
Let us quickly go to a break, Pastor T. Hey, we are left with... little time.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's fine. I left a little time, but hey, we have discussed a lot. You have said a lot, and I know a lot of listeners have been taking down notes and enjoying the show. Hey, you know, when we talk about relationships, I always enjoy listening to podcasts. Go to marriage seminar, anything that has
very important.
Very important. I enjoy that a lot. I hope listeners do enjoy it too when we're chatting here.
Hopefully, well, we're enjoying it a lot.
Oh yes. Let us quickly go to a break, and then I will go to financial intimacy.
Connecting you with Christ. Download our app and listen to our podcasts.
You are listening to Intimate Moments, right here on Radio Pulpit, discussing intimacies on intimate moments. Types of intimacies on intimate moments. We've covered the emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy. Now we're into the physical intimacy, Pastor T. The famous one.
By the way, it differs from the sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
The physical intimacy has its own room or criteria.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very big one. And allow me to say, I don't want to, I hardly use color as, you know, as a factor, but for us African people and people of color, this is a very big one. Remember, we're mostly raised by probably parents that were not affectionate.
Yeah.
That didn't say, I love you. It's sort of the old school that was raised maybe in a particular way. And then it's also becoming an issue with this generation now because of so many absent fathers. You find that the mothers are overworked, so their focus is just on providing, you know, and making sure that their kids go to school. And maybe there could be a neglect of the... And I think it's something that we need to practice. Especially since we are not raised, most of us, in backgrounds where there's affection, where there's hugs, where there's I love you, you matter. I think it's something that we need to cultivate because physical intimacy communicates a lot. Touch communicates a lot. That's why research was saying after a child is born, they need to be held by the mother for some time for that connection of their skin touching the mother's skin. And that helps them in their development, those first few minutes where they are held and they are touched and they are skin to skin. And that is a factor that as couples, you know, you find that some couples are more affectionate than others.
Mm-hmm.
Couples are not the same. Mm-hmm. Or you find that it's two extremes. One is affectionate, one is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But things like kisses, they go a long way. You know, it could be a peck on the cheek or on the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
The other time I was researching around the different types of kisses. It was very interesting to discover. I research a lot because of what I do. So it was interesting to discover how each one of them communicates something different.
You're making me want to get into that.
No, so people only know the deep kissing for sexual intimacy, but there's different types of kisses. There's a kiss on your cheek, there's a kiss on your forehead. Then obviously they get more intimate with the kisses on your neck and other areas, you know. But the main thing that just communicates safety, you know. The kiss on the forehead just says, "I've got you, I'm here for you, you are safe with me."
Mm-hmm.
So physical intimacy really goes a long way to just walk, you know, together holding hands in the mall or wherever you are. It communicates. There's underlying tones to say, "I'm here to stay." Because remember, when I'm holding your hand, there's nothing that I'm going to get that's going to satisfy me. So it's not a sexual reward that you're going to get, but it's it communicates that I'm here. I'm here to stay. I've got you. You understand? You know, hugs, when people leave each other, communicate a lot. You know, you saying, "I'm going to miss you whilst I'm gone," or "I can't wait to see you again," or hugging again when you see each other. Says, "Sure, it's been a long day. I've seen a lot of people, but wow, I'm so glad to see you." So it's something that we need to cultivate. I know it's slightly tougher for us, maybe because of how we were socialized, but it's something that can be learned. It's something that can be learned. There are seasons in life that you will go through where you don't need so much of sexual intimacy, but you just want to be held. You just want to know that you are safe. You just want to know that somebody is here sitting with you in the pain or sitting with you in the frustration. So, you know, stuff like cuddles and watching a movie, or cuddles and with no ulterior expectation. Okay, if it leads to sexual intimacy, it's still okay, but it should mostly be done without expectation, and in that way it communicates more that I'm not doing this to gain something from you. I'm doing this because I love you and I'm here to stay. So physical intimacy is very important. And usually when this gap is missing, usually the sexual intimacy has a gap.
When we talk about physical intimacy, the mind goes to sexual. But it's not the case.
No, it's not the case.
What is the difference between the difference is that and sexual?
Yeah, the difference is maybe what I just stated now is that if I'm having physical intimacy with you, you know, I don't know if you've even woman to woman, if you are going through something or you are grieving, and then I decide, okay, let me just give you a long squeeze. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, when somebody just gives you a long squeeze and you, whatever was the pain, just suddenly you feel a sense of peace for those few minutes. You were physically intimate with me without sexual intimacy, and that physical attachment sort of ministered to my emotional to my emotional life, if I can put it like that. They actually say if you hug a person, I think it was longer than 3 minutes, I think, the body releases endorphins, which are your feel-good hormones. So physical intimacy, it means I'm doing something without expecting something in return. I'm just showing my affection and love for you without, it can lead to sexual, but at this point, I'm not expecting any sexual, anything sexual from you.
So how can physical intimacy keep you guys connected?
It keeps you connected in a sense that you know, in this life, there's nothing as beautiful as knowing that somebody has got you and somebody's at your corner. Let me put it like that. And that's what physical intimacy enforces. I'm here for you. I'm holding your hand through this life. If you're not okay, you can lie on my chest. You can cry there. You can feel safe there. So I'm creating an environment for you to know that no matter how cold life can be, I'm here and I'm here to stay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and most couples that are strong in this type of intimacy really don't struggle much also with the other, with the other forms of intimacy.
And it makes you just, you just want to,
you feel valued.
You want to like feel naked.
Yes.
Not naked as in
you are not naked. Know,
like
for the,
you are free to.
Yes.
To be
you can say, sure. You know, this week has been a lot. Yeah. Like especially, it's something that I personally recommend that maybe on Fridays when the week ends, you take that time to just cuddle and just recap on the week, talk about. What has affected you this week? Talk about where you are emotionally, combining it with the physical intimacy. It could either be cuddling or sitting together on the sofa watching a movie, but there must be some sort of physical touch to say, this is where I am, this is what I've been through, this is what's happening. Then you are in an environment where you can bond more. Because you are able to, whilst you're experiencing the physical intimacy, you are also experiencing the emotional intimacy simultaneously.
Many couples lose that physical closeness over time, fastidy. So what steps can they take to restore it?
Sure. It's unfortunate that it's not as easy to build the physical intimacy when the emotional intimacy is broken. That's why now you find that if you've, like, have noticed it, even like on social media, you find a couple, they are maybe posing on some sort, then you can almost see the gap that, it's like a big wall. It's not that you're analyzing, it's because when you've built that intimacy, there's no need to fake it, it flows naturally. So to answer you, I would say first fix the emotional intimacy. The physical will flow. Because imagine I'm trying to hold the hand of somebody that I'm resentful of. I'm trying to hold the hand of somebody that, you know, just abused me emotionally. It doesn't come as easy. You see? So build on the emotional side first. Then it's easier when you've built on the emotional side, when you see your spouse, to hold their hand, to kiss them, to... you cuddle them, to do whatever, then it's easier.
Pastity, you will hear a lot of African women like us. We complain that, our husbands don't hold our hands like in the mall.
They must initiate it. Like for instance, in my relationship, my husband is the more the touch person.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm more the words. He's more the touch. You know, he wants to, he wants to touch you. When you're driving, he wants to put his hand on you, and that's how he expresses love. So if you have a spouse that is like that, do also put in effort reciprocating their love language or their nature of loving, because there's a reason why. Like my husband grew up a very sick person. He was very sickly. So, you know, he was touched a lot by his mom because he was sick throughout his childhood and his teen years until he was around 16. So he was used to touch. Even when he gets flu now, it's more, he will take your hand and put it on his forehead and say, how is my temperature? You know, those type of things, because he's sort of addicted to touch.
Okay.
So then you will have to meet your spouse where they are. And if they're a person that expresses love through physical touch, you train yourself to do the same. Yeah, you hug, you touch.
I'm one of those women, you know.
You're one of those,
those women who complaining of, it doesn't hold my hand in the mall.
Yeah, remember
he always panics. But he loves touching.
But not in public.
No, it's not about in public. He does it public. But when we are at the mall, the problem is with the mall. He's always panicking. He doesn't like.
Some people are quite private with their relationship. Like I'm one of those. I'm quite private. Like I would hardly do anything that's stands out there for the public, like in public. I'm not like that. Even though I know that I have a very affectionate husband, but I don't really post much pictures of affection or whatever on social media. Or even when we walk, it's not every time that we hold hands, but sometimes we'll occasionally hold hands. I think let's not so much I think women like to be affirmed in public. Then we know that, you know, our place, if it's like, if I can put it like that. But I think so long as the emotional connection is there and the affection is there, it's okay. Whether it's public or not, it's okay. Because that is the reality of your relationship. So you don't, people don't need to see it for it to be real. It's there. It exists. Yeah. So there's no need to put it out there.
Oh, wow. If you have just joined us, there's a lot that you have discussed. We are talking about types of intimacies tonight. We've touched on emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy. You've just got us on physical intimacy. And next up, we're going to intellectual and recreational intimacy, but after the break.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Where Christ is in the heart of every message. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
You are still listening to Intimate Moments with me, Amanda Makabuka, and I have Pastor T here with me discussing the types of intimacies. Oh, my word. We have spoken a lot, Pastor T, emotional, spiritual, physical, intellectual, financial. Now, out of all these types of intimacies, Pastor T, which do you think couples neglect the most and why?
Sure. I would say with what I've picked up from some of the cases that I've had, it will be mostly emotional intimacy and financial intimacy. Yeah. Strange enough. Yeah, because, you know, sure, where people's treasure is, there their heart is as well. So, like I did say earlier, the relationship that people have with money is based on how they were raised.
Yeah.
And obviously some people were sort of maybe on the extreme of poverty. So when eventually they get to have money, they hold on to it for dear life and don't want anybody to have access to. They find it difficult also to share. So our relationship with money is psychological.
Yeah.
Because of where we've been and what we've experienced. So there's a lot of challenges around financial intimacy. But I think with coaching and therapy, that can be adjusted. And then also then the emotional intimacy. People think that marriages are just going to run themselves without us putting effort to build the emotional intimacy, to call in and say, how are you? I was just thinking about you. How was your day? The smallest things, how was your day? Maybe if a person was complaining about something at work, you investigate further. Or you were complaining about that lady, what happened at work? Did you sort out your stuff, your issues or whatever? It shows that you want to be involved. It shows that you care. And you know, you cannot hide care. It's visible. So it's something that you must intentionally do. If you see that your spouse is a little under the weather, create a platform for them to be able to be vocal about what has affected them, whether you are part of it or not, if you just see them a little bit out of guard. So I think that we just live our lives like, I don't know, like, we just expect things to happen. We expect miracles to happen where we haven't put effort, you know. You know, and it's the small gestures. It's the small gestures that tell your spouse, I'm here for you, I'm available for you, you can be vulnerable with me, you can be open with me, I will not judge you, I will not look at you differently. And those things build the strongest of relationships. Then sexual intimacy and all the others, they sort of hinge on that main one.
Yeah.
But those two are the most neglected.
Okay. So if a couple realizes that they are lacking on some areas, where should they begin their journey to restore intimacy?
To restore intimacy. There are a lot of layers why people can't be intimate. It's just that we can't get to it on this show. You know, I've engaged with people before that really wrestle to even receive love. Just to receive love from another person, they just feel overwhelmed. They feel maybe it's not true. They feel maybe it's too good to be true. And I've seen people sabotage good relationships because they cannot receive love, you know. So you find that a spouse has been trying and they're being pushed away. There's just a whole wall around you. Then it, that will be then a case of therapy. When you're with a spouse that cannot receive love, then that is an immediate case of therapy, formal therapy, to try and find out and diagnose and help the person through whatever they went through for them to be. Then you get people that have been through serious difficulties or maybe abuse in previous relationships, and so everything they do is half clutch. Everything they do is they don't feel safe to come out and be fully there. So if you notice the extreme cases, that's a therapy case. But if it's just maybe a wall that is just there, you don't know what built it, then you can start with what we have advised on this show, which would be to be vulnerable. Start opening up about your day and the things that were happening at work. Start with the simpler things and make sure that every time you talk, it's not about issues and clashes. Yeah, sometimes just unpack your feelings. Sure, you know, this happened today at work and this is how it made me feel.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
You are inviting your partner into your world, and you are actually saying, I have nobody to talk to but you. So can you come to the party and meet me where I am? So vulnerability is a big thing, because that's what then fosters trust and empathy, because I can't support you when I don't know where you are. And also, for you to open up to me, it means you trust me, because you've got five friends you could have called, but you are opening up to this to me about this, and that goes a long way. You build it in small steps and stages. Don't expect, like, I think people, especially women, they expect this Hollywood type of thing going on. I don't know how it is. Women just like to romanticize everything. I don't think it has to be like Hollywood per se, but you need to be safe in your spouse's presence.
Yeah.
And you need to enjoy your spouse's presence, and you need to be able to talk about anything in your spouse's presence. I think then you, if you work towards that level of intimacy, you would have done a lot. So start with small steps, but on extreme cases, please don't go and get the help from therapists. We do have Christian therapists as well available, so do get the help, and it will do a great deal for your relationship.
Pastor T, you have shared a lot. Thank you so much for that. Now, any last words of encouragement or prayer to couples who want to strengthen their like areas of intimacy?
Yeah, I just want to say to couples, you know, we all have never been this way before. We've navigated, as you know, we found ways to navigate as we go. You know, even the most educated marriage mentor will still have cases where they're like, oh my word, what's happening here? What can be done here? Because this is God's institution. And but one thing I just want to say to couples is that if God has trusted you with a person, just make sure that you take care of that person's heart.
Mm.
Make sure that their right in this marriage does not become something that they need to endure.
You know,
there are seasons where you will need patience and more endurance, but you shouldn't be enduring from the beginning of your marriage to the end.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how God intended it to be. And you're in this journey for but a short while. So it might as well be worthwhile. That is my conviction. You're not going to be together forever.
Yeah.
Make sure that should that person pass on or should they collapse and die, you don't have to to beat yourself up for how you treated them. There are people that have died from depression due to marital stress. There are people that had, you know, heart failures due to marital stress. May you never be found being the one that is killing your spouse slowly through irrational behavior. So whatever can be fixed, let it be fixed. There's nothing. I did say last time, a marriage can survive a lot of adversities. The one thing it can't survive is pride. And that's where marriages die. Where there's dominant pride from female or male. So, may God be with you as you build. You know, sometimes you build and you realize, sure, I didn't build right. You are allowed to just fix that area, fix the cracks, and do the maintenance that is needed. And lastly, I would like to say that it's better to change a tire of a car than to change a whole engine that is passed. So do your daily maintenance, do your check-ins. How is this marriage? How are you? How are you managing in this setup? Because people leave it till late, till then the whole engine is down. Then everything comes to a standstill. And when it's like that, most people are not willing to do the emotional and practical work to fix the relationship. That's why people separate, because then the damage is just, it's too much. It's going to take a lot from them to get it back to where it was.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. May the Lord keep you and bless you for us. We still want you here on Intimate Moments. But till then, we'll keep in touch. I've noted down some topics on this discussion
already.
So you get that call.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to build and to uplift. And so long as God has given us the platform, I do appreciate the time to serve.
Thank you, sis. Thank you so much, Pastor T. That was Pastor T. Thank you so much for tuning in every Fridays from 10 till 12 right here on Radio Pulpit. Have a blessed weekend. We'll see each other again next week, same time, same place.
Faith and love on the airwaves.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.